What's next for opponents of the new healthcare law?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. As you may have heard, the Republican-dominated House of Representatives voted yesterday to nix the new health care reform law, and that is the end of the line for repeal because Senate Democrats and the president have vowed to shut down the effort. Opponents of the law can now try to knock off individual provisions they don't like. Republicans are looking specifically at a tax reporting requirement for businesses that's designed to raise revenue to pay for reform. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
This is the kind of regulation businesses love to hate. Starting next year, they'll have to file a tax form for every supplier they spend at least $600 with, on everything from computers to carpet cleaning.
Last year, we filed only 7 1099 forms. If the law were in effect, we'd file 200.
Tim Reynolds runs a software firm in Cleveland, and he's got 35 employees, one of whom does nothing but federal form filing.
Think of it this way, it's a 2,700% increase.
All those extra 1099s are supposed to help the IRS catch tax cheats and raise $17 billion. Reynolds, who's on the board of the National Small Business Association, doesn't think so.
Spread that across the millions of small businesses. That's a heck of a paper flow that the IRS is going to have to handle, and their costs are going to go up.
In keeping with his push to reduce business paperwork, President Obama now supports 1099 repeal. So do some Democrats, though they don't want to cut health care to pay for it. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Where's the beef? Apparently not at Arby's. The chairman of the Wendy's Arby's group said this morning he's considering selling Arby's and putting the focus on Wendy's. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is on the roast beef beat for us this morning, and she joins us live. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So why is Wendy's Arby's trying to sell the Arby's chain?
Well, Jeremy, Arby's has been struggling. Sales have been lagging. The recession took a big bite out of the entire fast food business. Arby's was hit especially hard because it didn't introduce value meals until last year. Consumers went to cheaper chains. But Arby's isn't the only brand in limbo. Yum Brands announced yesterday it was splitting off the A&W and Long John Silver's chains. It wants to focus on Pizza Hut, KFC, and Taco Bell.
All right. Well, before we make the listeners too hungry, why is there all this upheaval, Nancy, in the fast food industry?
I'm already hungry, Jeremy.
Me too.
As I mentioned, the tough economy has made consumers less likely to eat out at any chain, but it's also becoming harder for these chains to grow. The only way to do that now is to steal customers away from competitors or grow internationally. Wendy's is better known than Arby's and is in a better position to expand around the world. And that's the same issue Yum Brands faced. KFC is growing fastest in China. Long John Silver's and A&W are more niche brands, and they've had trouble getting traction abroad.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in overseas trading this morning. We'll get earnings today from Google. Yesterday, eBay reported a quarterly profit and said the value of the goods it sells on its mobile phone apps will double in the coming year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 12 points to close at 11,825.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. By Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com.
Walmart is expected to announce a plan today to cut the fat, as in the trans fats, as well as the salt and sugar in the food it sells under its own brand. While we're on the subject of big box retailers, here's a problem many of them face, especially those in the inner city: high turnover and absenteeism. But instead of getting tough, some stores have gotten a social worker. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
For the past 2 years, this Target store in East Los Angeles has had its own workplace counselor, Rosanna Trevino Perez. Her job is sort of a social worker crossed with a reference librarian.
It's like a concierge service of needs that can be addressed, and they can come to me. It's a one-stop shop.
These aren't your normal workplace issues, more private, personal stuff, like domestic violence or teen pregnancy or health issues.
Those things tend to keep them away, and they don't know how to resolve it. They don't know what other resources they have, home health, any other subsidy.
And with the recession, more employees are facing financial problems, like bankruptcy or foreclosure.
They're spending time at work trying to contact banks or credit card companies or lawyers, or they're just missing work because these things are so overwhelming to them that they can't even focus on their job.
That's Richard Chaffetz, founder and CEO of CommPsych, the firm that supplies counselors to Target and other companies.
They want to target the issue of turnover in the stores, and the best way we felt to address that is to provide resources on site for these people for financial counseling, emotional counseling, legal counseling.
Now, you might ask, aren't these the kind of issues that the HR department could handle? Chaffetz says no.
Because of issues of confidentiality, a lot of employees are not comfortable going to an HR person with these personal issues.
Adding a counselor does mean an extra expense, but in the long run, that position could save the company money. Steve Laffery is director of health benefits for Target. He credits counselors for lowering workplace accidents by 24% and boosting attendance 17%. Investing in a counselor essentially paid off in terms of better employees.
More productive. We have lower turnover. We have better guest service scores. Those are all business metrics that turn into better results.
Employee loyalty may become even more valuable in the months ahead as the economy improves and workers start getting other offers. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, Forbes has come out with a list of the most affluent neighborhoods in America. The winner, Westlake, Texas, just outside of Dallas. It has a population of about 700, including a few CEOs and the Jonas Brothers. The median household income there, $250,000. But Westlake is not without its problems. The town recently had to introduce a property tax to make ends meet. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
If I told you that the more people play games online with friends, the closer we get to fixing the global economy, would you believe me?
That ability to organize large groups of people where everybody gets to contribute their skill, their strength, is really important as we start to tackle planetary scale problems.
I'm a trustworthy guy, I promise. I'm Kai Rizdahl, playing games, solving problems, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.